speaking of for real, I got a for real show today. I've got real people in the studio talking about real issues that affect us all. And so today, you are joining outside the Pizza Box, right? You're tuned in to Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM in Madison, and 540 AM, 101 FM on the Shaw in Waukesha. Ka-ka! Yeah, so the first three segments of the hour, we're going to be talking with a couple guests today, UW nurses organizing for their strike, which I was corrected, is Tuesday the 13th through Thursday the 15th. And it's okay, you guys, because I don't have any appointments then, so feel free. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And then the last segment, I'm going to have Robert Slamka on to talk about, right to work being facing the Supreme Court next Friday. And I'm going to be participating in all this stuff, right, before I go see my brother in Colorado. Perfect timing. Because I am right at the center of the universe here in Madison, Wisconsin. But I want to start the show by honoring Martina Rippon. Many of you heard her call in last week from hospice, and she asked that she be the first person at the top of the list to support UW nurses in their effort to get a union. So we want to honor her that way. She passed away this week. But you heard her, Jason.
Yeah.
She was like, you know, you would have never guessed that. And I'm trying to do the same thing. But without any more discussion here, I'd like to introduce you to the two nurses I've got with me today, Jack Trudell and Becky Schachter. And why don't you guys just go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself and what's going on?
Oh, sure. I'll start. thanks for having us, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm a pleasure having you on. Thank you for showing up.
Yeah. So I'm Becky Schachter, and I have been a nurse with UW Health for just under 25 years.
Oh, you don't look that old.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say that I used to not cry when I went to see the doctors and nurses when I was a kid, but now that I'm older than my nurses and doctors.
Yeah. But yeah, I started as, you know, pretty much a baby right out of school. And currently, I work in the OBGYN clinic at the Junction Road Medical Center, but I was a hospital nurse for a good 7 years. And I was there when we had a union, and
right.
I can tell you that things are bad. We need it back. We need to have a voice again, and we need to stop these unsafe patient conditions that are occurring right now.
And not only the patients, you guys, but you guys and your families are affected directly by this. You shouldn't have to be an active patient to appreciate what these people are willing to do to keep you healthy and happy. I mean, I know firsthand, I would not be here without the nurses that have been taking care of me.
Well, we appreciate your support.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's what I'm going to say about unions. If you have a job in Wisconsin, you should be part of a union. That should be a requirement. That it has to be. Otherwise, you're going to have people taking advantage of the workers again. You guys go ahead. Continue.
Thanks also for having us here, Mike. My name is Jack Trudell. I'm a native Madisonian who I've worked at UW for 18 years. I've been a nurse for 28 years.
Another guy that doesn't look old.
He's anyway, full of compliments
I appreciate
today.
That. this has been a long campaign that started out when we lost our union. Act 10, obviously people know what happened in 2011. We kind of, where we fit in labor law, actually held on to our contract until 2014. And then it's gone. It was the argument then that legally that the hospital couldn't negotiate with us. Now that's been proven untrue by the Attorney General. It's been confirmed by number of impartial legal observers. And yet our CEO at UW Health, Dr. Alan Kaplan, refuses to recognize our union, despite there being any legal impediment to him doing so. Despite the fact that over the course of the last 3 years, we've twice had card signing drives both before and after the pandemic, where first time around about 1,300 of the 2,400-ish nurses that work at UW Health signed it and said they want to be in the union. And as of right now, I think we're getting close to 1,700 or at least a little north of 1,600 people that have signed cards the same way. So a clear majority of nurses want to have a union there. The reasons I think Becky alluded to, I think anybody who's been in a hospital or tried to go to an emergency room, for instance, can see that we're really short-staffed, that we're stretched increasingly thin, that the acuity of patients is getting higher, but there's not more nurses to help out, that nurses that have been around for a while are leaving because it's just too stressful, too much. And quite frankly, we have, we're the people that have stood by everyone during the course of our entire careers, really, but particularly over the last course of the last 2 years. And, we think the best way we can stand by people now is actually getting a voice, having a real input into what our work looks like, into what patient care looks like, demanding that we are actually taking care of people in a safe way that promotes their health, not just promotes making, money for a hospital. So that's kind of what we're all about. That's what the strike is about. We hope people will join us and realize that this is a fight not just for us, not just for unions, but really for our community. So I appreciate you having us on.
Hey, 2011, let's do it again. And this time, let's not go home. But can you tell me, outside of, obviously, Robin Voss and the Republican-controlled legislation, thank God for Evers. I just saw that, nobody's vetoed more bills as a governor than Evers. And they're like, yeah, Michaels gets in and it's all over. Oh, yeah, well, I wonder, people out there, millionaire from Connecticut, I want to be your governor. I'm just, a regular guy. I'm an outsider. Yes, you are an outsider, and you need to stay there.
A regular guy.
Can I ask you, though, who else is obstructing your path? I mean, is the administration at the hospital? Is it the UW Board of Regents?
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely Dr. Kaplan is the leader. He's the CEO, but then he's got this board. And I know that there are some members of the board that have been willing to meet with us and have shown their support, but we really need them to step up. I mean, at this point, Dr. Kaplan seems pretty stubborn, and it's going to take a lot, I think, to persuade him, but his board can do it. So we really need the community's help. If you go to supportuwnurses.org, I think it is. I gave that to you, Mike.
You
can personally write letters to the board. You can, if you've been a patient at UW Health and want to share your experiences and just, explain why you are supporting us and why you agree that we need union representation. We need all the help we can get.
Yes. You contact UW Health Nurses United at SEIUHCWisconsin.org. And basically, I know a lot of you morons do the same thing I do, right? We Google everything. Just Google UW Health Nurses trying to get a union. You'll find out everything you need to know, but we're not done with this. Okay. So the Dr. Kaplan, is that the name? What kind of doctor is he? Is he a witch doctor or?
Yeah, I believe he was an emergency room physician during his active medical career. That's as much as I know him. Now he's a CEO of UW Health. Maybe it would be the biggest person standing in the way of us having union. He can decide to recognize us tomorrow if he wants to and would get backing by the board. I think the board is in a slightly trickier position. They encompass a whole number of opinions, both about the way forward for us and probably about the kind of information they're getting from Dr. Kaplan and the administration about what our movement is all about. We're the clear majority of nurses. More and more people are joining with us every day. There's going to be hundreds of us out on the picket line. I believe we're almost to 800 people committed that will be there, and I believe that the number will actually be higher. His attempt really within the internal propaganda is to try to third person SEIU, third person the whole drive for the union. And then threaten and intimidate. and you know, I think the board's not really getting an accurate picture. I think there, I've heard that there could be some movement. I really hope that there is, because I think they need to get us out of this situation so we can work together to really go about taking care of our community and our patients. That's really what this is about. One of the things that's kind of happened last week was we were told that everyone at UW was going to get a 3.5% wage increase, despite the fact that this is not for us about increasing wages. It's not, you know, that's not the central part of what we're doing this for. But they thought that they could throw that out there. They appreciated their team. We all deserve it.
I got to say, the reason why they think that is that that's what they did. They threw at Dr. Kaplan. See?
No, he got actually, I think his bonus, at least the year before, was like $400,000. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think the people that are fighting you, and I would guess, let me ask you this. What is United Healthcare like? Are they the bad guys too? I mean, United, that's the health insurance company I have. I just wonder.
I mean, I think there's when you're doing my own personal opinion is that when you're trying to make money off of taking care of human beings, that there's a lot of bad actors that are going to be coming around. So I'm totally for taking the profit motive out of healthcare and actually taking care of human beings. I think I would say the same about education. I would say the same thing about a lot of things. So, you know, what we're dealing with in terms of you know, bad guys is what's right in front of us. And, you know, the biggest obstacle is Dr. Kaplan's intransigence, quite honestly, that he thinks that if he keeps repeating over and over that it would be illegal for him to do it, everyone will suddenly believe him. In fact, there's nothing illegal about him to recognize the union. And, you know, he just doesn't want to at this point. And so that's part of what the strike is about, is we need to force him to do that, quite frankly. And we're hoping as many people who want to back us and understand what we're about and understand what unions are about, come out and join us. There's going to be, you know, a solidarity rally the first day of the strike. It'll be at 4:30 at the main hospital.
Going to break. Yes, we'll be right back.
Yes.
Give me a reason to stay here. These guys in my booth right now. Dead yet. I got nurses taking care of me, man. I know, I like playing that song, Jason, but it was appropriate, I thought. And I want to welcome back my guests, Jack Trudell and Becky Schachter. And I'm not going to, you know, if people want to call in and ask questions or ask what they can do aside from contributing to the Solidarity Fund, there, you guys know, man, I'm SEIU, man. I mean, all the way through, Fight for 15, you know, that's my family out in Milwaukee especially. But we organized and went all over the Midwest, and we saw people fighting for rights for nurses and people to organize in Chicago. And this is Madison, Wisconsin, man. I'm pissed. Go ahead. You guys take over.
Well, yeah, I'm going to – Jack was mentioning right before the break about other ways to have the community help out. And so Tuesday, which is the first day of the strike, the 13th, there's going to be a big rally at 4:30, basically by the entrance to the emergency room. So there's the Unitarian Church right there. So everyone is welcome. Please come, bring signs, bring your loudest voices.
Vuvuzela, okay?
Is what?
The vuvuzela, the thing I used to really irritate people with blowing the plastic.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Oh, yeah, bring that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then Monday, in 2 days, is Labor Fest, which is at the Labor Temple on Park Street. And so from, I believe, 12 to 5 or 12:30 to 5, you know, there's going to be bands there, food. We're going to be there answering questions. You know, it'll be fun.
Of course it will.
Get some information. So there's that. But so I wanted to just talk a little bit. Oh, Jack had also mentioned back to the Dr. Kaplan and the board. So coming up with this, oh, we're going to give you a 3.5 raise. Like, surprise.
Right. There's a quarter.
Right. However, there was an asterisk footnote with that specifically said anyone who's on disciplinary action will not be eligible for the strike. Mm-hmm.
So all it takes is the board or the doctor to just put a little check mark next to your name and, you didn't follow the rules.
Right.
You did not lick our boots and get in line. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be fun. We're not only going to, follow you guys to the Labor Fest and then, to strike. We're going to make a path to Dr. Kaplan and some of these board members. That's the kind of stuff I like doing. Right, Jason? I'm not here running for office. I'm trying to run people out.
Oh, well, just wait. There's more. Okay, so then a couple days ago, all the nurses were being pulled into one-on-one meetings with their manager. They were being called, if they had the day off or if they're on vacation, they were being called at home to be asked if, number one, are you going to strike? And number two, would you pick up extra shifts? And then they wanted us to sign something. So this is completely against labor laws. They were, those of us that were at work at the time, they're pulling us away from our patients to ask us this.
Wow. Hey, that's what do they call that? Intimidation, Scott Walker? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think different managers took different approaches to that. My manager, who I think is a good manager, quite frankly.
Right.
Did call me at home and went out of her way to make sure that, she was trying not to be intimidating when she told me they were going to enforce all the work rules and that you might get in trouble for things, related to activity or, around or during the strike. Again, I have a lot of respect for her. And what I said to her was that just because you say this is not meant to be intimidating doesn't mean it's not intimidating to have your boss call you up when you're deciding whether or not you're going to support a strike that they've told you that might even result in your being fired, because what they're saying is that what they've kind of alluded to with some people is that if you don't show up to work without properly calling in sick for 3 consecutive days, then you're voluntarily resigning from your job. Well, the entire city of Madison, probably the entire state, hopefully big parts of the country, know that on September 13th at 7 o'clock, we're going to be out on the picket line. So to say that we're not giving notice, when in fact we've just given a 10-day notice, it's all over the news, you're calling me to ask me about it, it's ridiculous to say that somehow I'm going to be fired because I didn't tell you that I wasn't going to be at work that day. It's total scare tactics. Quite honestly, it's worked exactly the opposite that they meant. Mm-hmm. It's made everybody angry. It's made everybody get more organized. I've got more people committed to being on that picket line now than the day before when they before they said that. The fact is that nurses are fed up with the way we've been treated. We've been fed up with the way we've been made to compromise the care that our patients receive because we have too many of them at the same time, or we've been working too long, extra shifts. So on and so forth. That's what this is about. And, they can throw 3.5% at me. Give me a union. They can have it back. I'll take a 3.5% pay cut personally if they'll give me a union. That might be how we finally get one. The point being that nurses are angry. We're fed up. We're exhausted, and we're just not willing to let things go on the way they've been going on anymore. That's what this stand is about. And again, the biggest thing people can do is come down to that picket line and support us. I think that's really that. And then the other things have been talked about, but this is a fight for everyone, and we hope everyone jumps on board.
You know what would be really cool is supervisors and stuff risk their own asses and support. That's what my dad did as an administrator in the 70s when the teachers went on strike and they came to him and asked questions. He said, you better strike with your coworkers, man. He supported them. The Madison School Board tried to dump my dad. The same thing like this board is doing to nurses. Seriously, people, you don't really. I hope some of you don't get sick soon. Is it almost break time? No, you got time. Okay. And I see on the other side there, Paul. We'll take you when we come back, Wisco Paul. But because there's not really a whole lot of time left, but
we got about 90 seconds here.
Yeah. Go on, continue.
Well, yeah, and I just want to stress that we don't want the strike to happen.
Right.
And the ball's in their court right now, and whatever happens is the 100% falls on Kaplan and the board. They are responsible for what is going to happen in the next couple weeks. We gave them notice. We're not abandoning anyone. They have abandoned us years ago. And then as well, you know, they've abandoned you guys. So this is our time to change it.
Sweet. We'll be back after this next break. But I'll tell you what, you need to throw two balls into their court. Because then they'd have a pair, wouldn't they? Oh, Mike, you did not. Yes, I did. We'll be back after this break, and we'll do one more segment. And then we'll get to Robert Slamka.
Now let me get this straight. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you drank and bowled up. Put the lime in the coconut, you called your doctor. Woke him up, said, doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said,
and we're back with my two guests, Jack Trudell, Becky Schachter, nurses, organizing for a union, and Paul, Wisco Paul, you've been waiting a while. Did you want to say something today, brother?
Yeah, thanks for having the nurses on, Mike.
No, thank them for coming on. Who comes on my show, dude? Nobody.
Well, it takes courage to put yourself out there when you're organizing for a union. I've been involved in a couple of them. It's not an easy thing to do, and they're very courageous for doing it. As a retired Teamster, I'm telling you what, I will be there.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
I appreciate
He was there in 2011. That's how we know each other, you know?
Yeah, that's why your pizza box is signed. At any rate, it's September 13th. I have that correct.
Yep.
And at the emergency room, you're saying, or where? So I can go on your website also. But
yeah. That's for sure where the rally is going to be.
4:30, Tuesday p.m. Yep. And at 7, the nurses are all coming out, right?
Yeah.
At 7 a.m. is when the picket line starts.
That's
so anywhere at the main hospital, you can certainly come down and join us. We're going to need some other people to help us back, especially if you're a retired Teamster. If you got some friends you could send out to support us out at the American Center.
Bring some trucks.
So
trucks are good.
Let us know, because we will absolutely want everybody who can join us on that picket line. Is more than welcome.
Okay, run the date.
It'll be Tuesday.
September 13th.
Yep, I'm going to do this because they corrected me and now I've got it. Okay, Tuesday the 13th through Thursday the 15th. That's in not this week, but the following week. And that one starts at what, 4:30?
That's the rally.
That's the rally.
Support rally.
And then bring your tents. Just don't leave the guns at home, because that's not us, right?
Yes, please.
My God.
That's us. We've never done that. No.
No, we
believe in the right to bear arms, so we cut off our sleeves.
Michael, it's 4:00 in the afternoon on the 13th, and then the following day it's 7 a.m. in the morning, correct?
The strike starts at 7 a.m. on the 13th. So if you want to be there for the beginning of the strike and support the picket line, you want to be outside the main hospital, probably anywhere is where we'll be, because a lot of people will be out there at 7 a.m. And then later that day, there's going to be some other events. There's actually going to be music, and there's going to be a community rally and march that will begin at 4:30. So if people aren't for a long day, be there at 7 and support us the entire time. I wanted to just go ahead, bud.
Well, I'm going to say this to Paul. If you want to show up on like Monday night or whatever, you can stay at my house, or we can just sleep out there and get up early, have some breakfast.
All right. We'll
kick some ass.
We'll work on that. love the nurses, and I'm willing to do it. So I'll let you guys talk about this. And anyway, I love you guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, and what Mike, if you just don't mind, I really want to, you know, it's fun and not fun. It's easy to get frustrated with Dr. Kaplan, the board, our situation. I think that is 100% true. I also think what we're fighting for, we're not just going out because we want to pick a fight. We're not just going out because we want to make a lot of noise. We're not going out because we want to, you know, force them to do much of anything.
What you guys are doing is applying pressure to a serious wound Yeah. For our healthcare workers and their patients and right. the families yes, exactly. and everybody connected. It's just so stupid. Yeah. I mean, yes, they had a union. Scott Walker and the Republicans destroyed it. Got an election in November, people. And I understand what you're saying about the board and everything. Trust me, these guys never got scared. I mean, we've been doing it for a while. And they are intimidated by you showing up and being truthful. Okay? Right. Well, it'll work. It'll work.
And what we're hoping is that they take us seriously, because we are serious, and this is going to be a big thing. And it's a scary choice for a lot of nurses. Right. We are not mm-hmm. used to sort of leaving people at the bedside. So right. we hope that the hospital does the right thing and make sure they take care of those people, knowing that we've given them this date basically more than 2 weeks beforehand. But the other thing is, the easiest way around the situation for everyone is for them to recognize our union and let us actually have a collaborative voice, so we can work together to solve problems that are not strictly caused by management. You know, the pandemic wasn't Dr. Kaplan's creation, right. But the reaction to it put patients and us at risk. The way that the administration has gone since we lost our union has done the same thing and caused nurse burnout. So again, we're hoping the strike doesn't happen, but the best guarantee that we have that it won't is that we build it as big as possible. So if we need to actually do that to force him to do the right thing, we're willing to do it, because we've come to kind of the end of our rope. Hopefully he will recognize us, and then we'll move on to actually how do we move this thing forward and not just sort of throw out the life preservers.
Well, I'm sure he mm-hmm. doesn't want to appear Trumpy, right? But that's what this is, see? You know, if you're sitting down with the clowns that are keeping people oppressed and stressed and risking their health and risking the lives of we saw that in COVID, didn't we? Hmm. Come on, doctor. Step up. Dude, don't be a Dr. Oz clown.
Yeah, and I mean, they're clearly feeling the pressure, and which is why they are pulling all of this retaliation crap on us. But I still don't think they quite know how strong we are. And, you know, I definitely feel empowered that this is huge. But yeah, all they need to do is just make the right choice, and we could prevent all of this.
Yeah, and see, this is just like everything else. There's no left or there's no right. It's either right or wrong. Okay, you can't compromise with wrong and do halfway things. But you know, I've been around long enough to know that a lot of this is pressure from the entire system that we have, our healthcare system. And well, I do know that you guys are strong, because I watched you during the pandemic, and I saw what you go through. And I mean, these are people that love helping other people. Why would you want to make their lives difficult? It's just no sense at all.
Well, Mike, I also know that, given your own experience, some of the things I've learned about you and some of your health stuff that we've kind of chatted about in between, it's hard enough to be in those situations. And then to have to wait an extra 10 minutes if you're having pain because your nurse has too many other patients to take care of. Mm-hmm. We've got stories of nurses that are being called. You know, I have a coworker that used to work at the main hospital who was just telling me about what things are like down there. She was telling me that she, in fact, was supposed to, she had, I can't remember how many patients she started with, but one of her patients kind of started to go downhill and was actually in the process of coding. When the charge nurse leaned in to her and told her that she needed to leave and go take report on another patient that she was still going to have. Those kind of choices are those kind of situations are heartbreaking for patients. It means you have to wait longer. The person that you're depending on can't be next to you as soon as you need them. But they're also heartbreaking for nurses to have to make that kind of choice. Do I give somebody pain medicine or do I go? That's what we want to fight against. We want a hospital that's staffed enough, that has actually, contracts that have staffing ratios and so forth. That's how we can actually move this thing forward. That's what we want to actually be sitting down and talking with Dr. Kaplan about, as equals across the table with a path to recognition of our union. We're not asking, we're not asking for anything radical. In fact, mm-hmm. there's been studies that show that in hospitals where nurses are unionized, patients do better. There's been studies that show, in numerous, and we can cite them for you if people want, where When patient ratios are lower, patients do better. So we're not asking for things that are extravagant. We're asking for the right to have a voice and take care of the people that we're charged with taking care of every day.
And I got to tell you, I've had awesome experiences with almost every doctor that I've had during cancer. And I told you about the one, and I'm not going to pick on that guy because I filed a complaint, okay? But I've never had issues with nurses or felt like they didn't care about me except for one time, and that was my colonoscopy, and I think that's just because she thought I was an a-hole. But that's about it.
How she saw you, Mike.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and, you know, so I work in a clinic right now, and so I think that a lot of people, the general public and hospital nurses, don't really have a grasp on what clinic nurses do, but this has all affected us just as much. You know, since we lost our contract, we've lost so many experienced nurses. We're so short-staffed. They're not filling vacant positions anymore because they're like, well, you've been working this way for 2 years, so I guess we don't need another nurse. I know nurses in clinics that are staying till 8:30 at night because they haven't even gotten a chance to look at the hundreds of MyChart messages that have come through. They don't even start looking at those until 5:00. And so what that means is that, I mean, first of all, you hope that somebody didn't MyChart with like a major problem, but there are a lot of patients then that, okay, you can't just ignore it. You're reading this MyChart. They need help. And so now you're stuck in a position where, okay, you have to send them to the ER because clinic is closed. So that's putting another burden on the ER. Patients are mad because they have to pay a high copay. They have to wait for hours. I mean, it's so ludicrous. So,
you guys, I really appreciate you coming on and bringing this to light. Okay, maybe next week we could, you know, depending on whether the doctor and the board come to their senses before we embarrass them all tremendously, this could be resolved by then, and then you could like even just call in if you want and say, hey man, we won.
Mike, I promise you will have exclusive rights to our first interview after we get a union contract.
Yes.
So for your listeners, if that's an incentive, come on out, because Mike's going to get, this could launch you to a national scale.
Oh, I'm just waiting
Let's
for my
go,
chance,
man.
All right, thanks again, you guys. We'll be back after this break, Mike, with Robert Swamka. Thanks again.
My next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
We're back. Hey, let's not forget Jeff's Guitar Clinic, Stoughton, Wisconsin. Yeah. Okay, we'll play that out first. Yeah. Go to jeffsguitar.com and you'll find all your guitar needs. Nice. Handmade guitars, studio, lessons, gift certificates. Check it out. jeffsguitar.com. And now, see, all this stuff is connected going on in the world, right? When it comes to labor and it comes to people working and when it comes to administrators, right? So next Friday is the 9th of September. And in the morning, I think I'm going to get there early. My friend Robert Slamka is here and told me that, oh, yes, a right to work is going to be like challenged in front of the Supreme Court. So we're going to be there. And others should as well. But I'm going to let Bob let you know what's going on. He knows he's been working with the attorney, Walter Stern, that's going to be handling this.
Yeah. Hey, well, thank you for having me on, Mike. And a real quick shout out to the nurses who just left the studio. Hopefully their situation is acknowledged and they wind up having a recognized union with contract negotiations before this even has to happen. But that's an option left for the administrators over at UW Health. Attorney Walter Stern will be making his 12th appearance before the Supreme Court at 9:45 a.m. this coming Friday. At issue is a challenge to the non-enforcement of the right to work law in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm hoping that a lot of people kind of look at that and scratch their head just a little bit and try to understand, you know, with what they've heard about right to work, just exactly why anybody's challenging a non-enforcement. I mean, I know that, you know, a lot of us forward-thinking, progressive-type people look at it and go, boy, it's such an evil thing. Why would anyone want it enforced? And the answer to that question is, unfortunately, the only people who can violate it would be narrow well-doers, sadly, administrative within organized labor, business managers, as an example, possibly contractors who'd work in collusion with them, and certainly any union member who would violate the right to work law through intimidation or what have you. So, you know, much like the nurses deal with intimidation issues and fear and having to worry about, you know, whether they're going to have a job after they actually do something, I lost my job as a result of getting a little bit too close to a truth. But Mike knows a little bit about it. I'm sure he's going to have a few questions, and let's not make it entirely about me.
Yeah, anybody that wants to participate, we're down to the last segment, but it's 844-967-2789, especially if right to work has affected your life. But we know that it also affects a number of things, one being prevailing wage, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And prevailing wage was probably the biggest hit that wound up coming to organized labor. Building trades relied upon it. State law at the time required that they actually report reportable working hours. And by design, what it was supposed to do is, in any given area in the state of Wisconsin, any state contract work, if you had a majority reporting indicated that the majority of the work was being done by organized labor, obviously unionized, it would therefore establish that wage rate to be paid out of state contract. And Scott Walker did away with all of that shortly after the right to work law was passed. And the date was March 9th of 2015.
Wait a minute. Are you sure? I thought I remember Scott Walker saying that he wasn't going to deal with right to work because it was going to be a distraction.
Well, and the reason why he said that was, unfortunately, there were people in the organized labor camp who had to rely upon Scott Walker for contract work.
Terry McGowan.
Terry McGowan. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, and Mark Ryle. Those guys, both of those guys, were on the governor's workforce investment committee for the full 8-year term of Scott Walker. And there was pretty much an understanding that there was some business that Scott Walker would have to attend to, and it wasn't going to affect building trades. And if they just did a little bit of an ole and let him do what he had to do, it wouldn't come back on them and affect them with the right to work.
That benefited a lot of Trumpy guys, didn't it?
It absolutely
did. Isn't that weird
did.
How that works? How corruption always leads to the Trumpiness?
Well, I mean, you know, when we're talking about road building contracts, obviously you got Mr. Tim Michaels, who happens to own Michaels Construction.
Wait a minute. I think you're mistaken. He's from Connecticut. He's got a $17 million estate there. I don't think he's running for governor of Wisconsin.
Oh, that can't
right?
be the same guy that he drives in the pickup and wears a flannel shirt. And...
No, well, same guy? Maybe there are two of them. I don't know. Maybe there are two of them.
Born with a crowbar up his hinder, eh? Not a spoon, a crowbar, because he's a working class guy, right?
But it'll be interesting to see what his response is to that as well. And so where we are here in the state of Wisconsin, to make it really quick, what wound up happening was some illegal ads were found by me in June of 2018. I had some conversations with Randy Schneider, who was the director of criminal litigation with the DCI. Turns out to be a guy I knew in high school. We were actually in a play together. He was a senior. I was a freshman. And Randy had told me if there were violations of the right to work law, they would be able to investigate it, the DCI, and they could prosecute. And shortly thereafter, in a conversation, he had said to me that the reason why Brad Schimmel had allowed them, they wanted to keep it inside the DCI, was Total Mechanical, one of the two contractors that was involved in the illegal ads that required union membership, happened to be the first contractor at Foxconn. And it turned out in a FOIA that I found out after Walker lost the election. I applied for the FOIA through the Evers administration, and the Department of Justice sent me the information. I found 7 violations that they had investigated. Turns out that when they interviewed me on July 26th, it was actually the day they concluded the investigation. It was never to be heard from again. So basically, there was a cover-up within the DCI. And that's kind of where we stand today. Unfortunately, the state WERC refused to enforce the right to work law. They fell back on the National Labor Relations Board, saying that they preempted the law, and Attorney Walter Stern will say otherwise.
So did right to work, did that welcome scabs into the state from other states that were, you know, had no prevailing wage and come up here and actually take away jobs?
Well, you know what I found out, in my particular union, I was a sheet metal worker for 32 years. I went to a union meeting in Racine sometime in July of 2015, and I was at the time one of 53 guys from the Milwaukee County area who were on out of work. So I was on the state unemployment, paying my health insurance through basically on my unemployment payments. And they were bragging about stripping guys from a contractor in Racine. And I'm like, well, where could these guys possibly be getting work? Nobody leaves the non-union for a non-job in the union. So I asked the question, and they were dumbfounded that anybody would actually pick up on what they were saying. They said that they were doing it to hurt the non-union, and they refused to tell me any information on it. So I did my own background research. I contacted the contractor, who told me that there were four guys who left the non-union for the union. I looked at the union newsletter, and in the newsletter it indicated that there was a new guy, and it matched the description of the guy that I had talked to the owner, Bob Nuzzo, over at Southport Heating, and it was at Gruno Company. So I called Bob Stick over at Gruno Company, and Bob Stick told me, yeah, he hired them. And I said, that's not what the union said. Next thing I know, I'm being brought up on charges disrupting the union's organizing. And what I found out after I got kicked out of the union on March 1st, 2016, what I found out was they were bringing these guys in, and the guys that they were bringing in, they mandated that they had to have been former union members. They had to have been gone for a certain number of a period of time. It was over a year. And that they were no longer eligible for early pension retirement, so they'd have to work till age 65. And I'm like, okay, so they're worth 20 more years, 10 less years of liability, 10 more years of contribution than me. And I figured out what it was. It was a pension recovery scheme. So unfortunately, you know, I'd been kicked out of the union, and we'd gone through the National Labor Relations Board. They found out that there was discrimination against me. We could have filed a lawsuit on that particular information. And then all of a sudden came these illegal ads through the right to work, Indeed.com. And here we are.
All right. Well, no, here we are next week.
Next week on 9:45 a.m. at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and leave your pea shooters at home, please. I know it's fun to watch them go out, but you're not supposed to do that. So Yeah. So and thanks everybody for listening in. Thanks for coming in, Bob.
Yeah.
We're done with this week's show, man. You've been listening to 92.7 FM Devil Radio, 1580 a.m. out of Madison. And then also 5:40 a.m. 101 FM out of Waukesha, the Shaw. Caw-caw! And we'll do this again next week, and then 2 weeks. Jason's got 2 hours because he's got a big event coming up. Looking forward to that. And we'll be back after that. But we'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening. Now I'm going to be food for worms. And just like Charles Mingus.